This is an iHeart podcast.
Christian nationalism. Why are you hearing that word so much? We'll talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about illegals killing Americans tonight. We're going to talk about the state of Minneapolis, the future of American cities, ballot chasing, all that coming up. And I'm right. It would be beneficial if everybody would study communists more and communism more, to study their tactics, their techniques. How are they successful? How's such a demonic religion, how's it been so successful taking over societies? One of the main ways communism has been successful, wherever it is they will find whatever's in their way, whether it's a person or a concept, whatever it may be, and they'll figure out a way to, this is from Saul Alinsky, to freeze it, personalize it, polarize it. They'll pick an enemy, they'll find a way to separate that enemy from society, and they'll attack it and attack it and attack it without end until it's destroyed. And now they have an enemy gone. You see this, you've seen this a million different ways. You're seeing it right now in the country with their war on Christianity. Remember, communists do not share space with any other religion anywhere, whether it's the Orthodox churches in Russia or the Buddhist temples in China. If there is a religion of a nation, communists view that religion as a competitor and they will stamp it out. Communists are after the American church, and they're using that freeze it, polarize it, and personalize it technique once again. Why do you think you're hearing so much this phrase you've probably never heard before up until a couple years ago? Christian nationalism.
All the things that we think about electability, about, you know, what are people gaming out, or none of that matters when you believe that God has given you this country, that it is yours, and that everyone who is not a white conservative Christian is a fraudulent American.
I would put him in the camp of Christian nationalists, where he believes he's truly fighting these dark forces, and the Constitution in some cases is an impediment to him being able to fight those forces. It's very dangerous for this country.
This movement was the foundation for January 6th. They were the moving elements that made January 6th and the insurrection happen. And now we have a Speaker of the House who is an avowed Christian nationalist.
This is very much in line with the overall attack on trans people writ large, because this is actually a focus by the Christian nationalist movement on anything that they consider to be outside of the gender binary.
So they put their loyalty to Trump and God before Constitution and country. I think it is the most heinous threat, and it is the largest domestic threat you could possibly think of at any point in our country. Right now it's happening.
Over and over and over and over and over again. Christian nationalism, Christian nationalism. And they're trying the best they can to thread that needle and make Christians stay really complacent, which they are in this country. No, no, it's not you, not Christians, just a Christian nationalist. Listen to this Politico reporter try to thread that needle on TV.
You're going to hear words like Christian nationalism, like the new apostolic reformation. These are groups that you should get very schooled on, because they have a lot of power in Trump's circle. And the one thing that unites all of them, because there's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalists is very different, is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God.
Not Christians. No, no, no. Stay calm, Christian. Just the Christian nationalists. This is all about Christianity. They are after you. Time for Christians to wake up. Joining me now, Kingsley Wilson, digital media director at the Center for Renewing America. And it's that Center for Renewing America that is actually kind of in the news because of all this, because that same psycho Politico reporter moaning about Christian nationalism wrote a piece about you and this dastardly organization of yours, Kingsley. What kind of Christian nationalism are you guys plotting?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, Jesse. It's great to be with you. And I think we're seeing here an example of the mainstream media's disdain for Christian Americans, right? Nowhere is anti-Christian bigotry more obvious than in members of the mainstream media's hits, in the pieces that they write about us. And we have to realize why they're doing this. They want you on the sidelines. They want Christian Americans who have biblical worldviews to sit out of the political process so that they can advance their satanic globalism. The left has a religion, right? It's wokeness. They want the LGBTQ mafia to take strangleholds of our schools. They want illegals to come through our southern border. They want to worship at the altar of George Floyd. Christian Americans and we at the Center for Renewing America will not stand for that. We will fight against it because our foundation as a nation is Christian foundation and principles and different ideas that the founders wrote about, right? You look at things like the Declaration of Independence mentions our creator. We say that we're a nation under God when we recite our Pledge of Allegiance. Our different currencies say in God we trust. Almost every state constitution in this country, in fact, mentions God or the divine. We are a Christian nation. That is how we were founded. Our rights come from God, much to the dismay of Politico. They would rather have it come from Joe Biden's government, and we will not stand for that.
Kingsley, when it comes to the American church, it is under attack. It's under physical attack. We know that attacks on the American church have doubled in just the last year. In fact, they've more than doubled. We understand that. That's just the street communists. At the federal level, they're arresting pro-lifers for reading Bible verses and singing worship songs. Christians in America have to realize the war against them isn't coming. It's here.
Exactly. You're correct. And you even think back to instances like during the COVID-19 virus, right? They shut down Christian places of worship while they kept restaurants that they like to eat at, like the French Laundry, Gavin Newsom's favorite, open. They, you know, went after bakers that refused to bake cakes that went against their Christian beliefs. The Obama administration, you know, just recently, when they were in power, they went after the Little Sisters of the Poor, a Catholic organization, for refusing to embrace birth control as, you know, a means of medical assistance. And I think that what we've seen in recent history is, again, a kind of perversion of our founding. These people, because you're right, they're communists. They hate America's founding. They hate our heritage, and they are intent on uprooting and subverting that. You even look prior to the founders, right? The English Protestants that came over to New England, they wanted to establish a settlement that was founded on Christianity that glorified God in everything that it did. That is our Christian ethos as a country and our heritage, and the left is hell-bent on just doing away with that and rewriting this history. That's why we see them tearing down statues and telling our children in schools that America's founding was racist. They're trying to, in real time, write what this country was and has always been about. And we at the Center for Renewing America want to renew a consensus of America as that nation founded under God. We can no longer let these communists tear down our statues and our history.
Amen. Kingsley, it's not just Christians under attack. It's really anybody on the right now. In fact, the FBI just kicked in the door of a 22-year veteran. Well, here's the video.
I got the door.
Move it. I'll tell you when you bring it in.
Yep.
Kingsley, what am I looking at there? It looks awful.
Yeah, so this is unfortunately something that has become all too common in the United States. I mean, this does not look like a democracy that is founded on the principles of freedom. This looks like an American Stasi, right? And what we're seeing is people who peacefully protested at January 6th, like the person whose residence is being portrayed here, he was actually, as new footage has shown, thankfully a lot of the footage has come out from the Capitol that day on January 6th, he was picking up trash. He was asking Capitol Police how he could help. He was by all means peaceful, not a violent protester that day at all. But yet his door is being kicked in by the FBI. His wife and young child are standing standing out in the freezing cold. It was 12 degrees that morning, standing out in the freezing cold in a pre-dawn raid. His wife, we found out later, was actually pregnant at the time and miscarried the very next morning after this raid. It is truly horrific to see this type of lawfare happen against American citizens. You hear the left complain about dictators like Vladimir Putin, yet ignore what's happening in our very own country. We are targeting people based on their political ideology just for the crime of being Trump supporters or going to Latin mass or believing something crazy like there are two genders, right? So we have to, as conservatives, stand up against this. We have to defund the FBI, totally slash the budgets that are allowing them to continue to target American citizens in this way. It is unconstitutional. We cannot stand for it. And what they are putting just regular American citizens through is truly horrific. And I hope to see conservatives across the aisle continue to speak out and just, you know, advocate for more accountability. We have these government agencies under the Biden administration that just have, you know, free reign basically over the citizenry to inflict their will, to target you, to blacklist you, to take your social media accounts from you. We can't allow this. This is un-American. We need to make sure that these agencies are held accountable. Chris Wray, in my opinion, should be imprisoned for what his agency is doing to Americans, like this man who, as you mentioned, served our country in uniform, right? This is how we're treating our veterans. It is horrific.
It is. Kingsley, thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right. What's the future of commie blue cities look like in this country? What can you expect? Well, I'll tell you what. We have a city that's actually more advanced down this road than any other. That city is Minneapolis, and the great Liz Collin is going to join us next, and she's going to let you know what's coming for your city. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right now. I woke up, and I saw something horrific today. It was from the great Thomas Massey, congressman out of Kentucky, and he was preparing the American people that there are not one, but two more gigantic omnibus bills getting ready to pass Congress. There's nothing that can stop the fiscal crisis that's coming. And when I say it's coming, I'm not doing some 50 years from now thing. It's coming much faster than that. A fiscal crisis is going to be here, and you will be alive to witness it, and it's going to hurt everybody. In fact, it might change our standard of living forever. It might. It's going to be that bad. No one's even slowing down. No one's even trying to slow down. So you better get some gold or silver. I don't care. Let Oxford Gold put precious metals in your hands. They'll mail it to your front door. They'll get it in your retirement account for when that bubble goes pop. But don't wait. These people, they're doing it to us. You can't stop it. I can't stop it. It drives me crazy. All we can do is be ready. 833-995-GOLD. Tell them I told you to call and they will take care of you. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
I also spoke to Gianna, George's young daughter, again. When I met her last year, I've said this before, at George's funeral, I told her how brave I thought she was. And I sort of knelt down to hold her hand. I said, "Daddy's looking down on you. He's so proud." She said to me then, I'll never forget it, "Daddy changed the world." Well, I told her this afternoon, "Daddy did change the world."
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, that's not professional. And we're about to talk to a professional. I just can't. Joining me now, a real journalist with Alpha News, Liz Collin is her name. Liz, the death of St. George Floyd most definitely did change. I don't know about the whole world, but it certainly changed Minneapolis. You're there. How are things going?
You know, to report back here, Jesse, things are not going well more than 3 years later. I appreciate you having me back on. You were kind enough to reach out after putting out The Fall of Minneapolis back in November. But no, things are not going well here. We have a police force down from nearly 900 cops at the beginning of May of 2020 to barely 500 are holding on at this point in Minneapolis, and residents continue to flee this city as this lawlessness has spread all across Minneapolis. We sadly had a tragedy about a week ago with two police officers killed in a suburb and a fire medic as well on a domestic call. So this lawlessness has spread all across, you know, not even the state of Minnesota, but no secret that it's happened all across the country.
Liz, let's focus on the law enforcement portion for a second, because that is an eye-popping number that the police force is about half, a little more than half of what it was. For a city that size, what are the response times? What are the cops just flat out letting go at this point in time? Because I have no doubt with a force that small, they're just letting some things go.
Oh, absolutely. We actually just profiled a recent story on Alpha News, a longtime Minneapolis couple. They've slashed the price of their home more than $100,000. They've received no offers on it. It's been sitting on the market for more than 6 months. They themselves have been assaulted twice trying to pick up syringes in their front yard. They have people defecate in their backyard. They're watching people OD on their front porch. Literally, their words to me, Jesse, in this story were, this is like a third world country, and it's really 14 or 15 people when you take the city council, the mayor, some activists that seem to be in charge that are ruining this for everyone. You had a police force that actually they were trying to add hundreds of police officers just a few years ago to bring it up past 1,000 cops. And again, like I said, 500 barely holding on. So some they, you know, can't even respond to, and sometimes it's hours for them to respond depending on what's happening.
Now, Liz, why would it be so hard to staff a big city's police department like that? There's all kinds of people in Minneapolis. Why don't people want to be cops there?
Well, this George Floyd incident certainly sent a message, not only with the officers that were charged, but this, you know, peaceful surrender that took place, right, of the 3rd Police Precinct, basically giving this workplace up to the mob, certainly sent a message to those cops who'd worked there for years at that precinct. But you also have a even more left attorney that's taken over, the Hennepin County Attorney, Mary Moriarty, who has charged more police officers in the wake of all of this, including just recently a state trooper who was dragged in a vehicle and had to fire his weapon. And he's now been charged with murder and faces years in prison. So this cycle continues in Hennepin County itself and in Minneapolis. So you see a lot of these guys and gals, they're just leaving for other departments, if not quitting law enforcement altogether, sadly.
You know, I want to talk about that couple, because actually we have a clip of them for Alpha News. Here they were.
We loved it at first. We loved our neighbors. We talked to them, but it has changed so much. I mean, we don't feel any public safety, and that should be our basic civil right, but we don't have that.
Ever since the riots and the pandemic, it's just gone downhill like there's no tomorrow.
They shit in our backyard. Needles are everywhere. Prostitution happens. People sit on our porch like it's their house.
And they OD.
And we call 911 all the time.
It's almost once a week.
It's insane. It's a third world country, and it's created by 14, 15 people, which is sad.
I would move to Mexico in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
To exchange for here.
Now, Liz, what hit me most about that video, not for all the things they said, which you described, but that they didn't vote. These people don't vote. Who do they blame? Are they going to start voting?
Well, they actually didn't vote for the candidates that won. So they were active politically as much as you can be, I guess, in Minneapolis. But again, this has been a city controlled by Democrats for decades. It's no secret. But there's not really a lot of centralized Democrats left, I would say, in the city of Minneapolis. You have basically self-proclaimed socialists that are running the city council. So the days of those Democrats seem to be over in Minneapolis. And that's why these guys say, you know, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. They, in fact, say it's brick shut. No light at all.
Okay, Liz, what's happening with the business environment? Because what always happens in a city around the world when cities get this bad is businesses leave. It's an underrated aspect, because then the tax dollars leave and then the city gets even worse. Is Minneapolis losing businesses?
Oh, absolutely. I think it was more than 1,000 businesses closed their doors. That was in 2022. Ooh. Sometimes it takes a little bit to get the numbers out each year. But not only that, but Ramsey and Hennepin County alone each lost more than 10,000 residents. Those are the more densely populated counties in Minnesota, obviously. And where are they going? They're going outstate. In many cases, leaving Minnesota altogether, or they're going to more rural red areas. You, again, just have two kind of tiny specks on the Minnesota map that are very blue that are making these dangerous decisions that we're all paying for.
Liz, why isn't Black Lives Matter shunned nationwide? We take all these other hate groups and we shun them, and they're evil and they're bad. And they're, but Black Lives Matter, I mean, in New York, they're still handing out Black Lives Matter coloring books. You still see it painted on the end zones. This is a radical hate group that torched America's cities, and no one seems to care.
No, it's an excellent question, Jesse. Still to this day, you have people with their Black Lives Matter signs in very liberal areas in Minneapolis that are right near the lakes in their million-dollar homes. You don't see a lot of them in, you know, North Minneapolis. They're pleading for police officers to come back. They never wanted any of this at all. You have the corporate media that refuses to report the truth about this organization. That, you know, and that's what we try to do at Alpha News, try to counter some of this absolute crazy. I come at this as a reporter. I'm not even a political person. But for too long, I think so many people have stayed silent. And they continue to allow this all to happen.
Liz, thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right. You have heard that horrible story out of Georgia. Young lady goes out jogging. Illegal kills her. It's just the most heartbreaking thing. I just could not imagine sending my daughter off to college and losing her in that way. It's friggin' awful. So we're going to talk about that next in probably a different way. We're going to talk about it with Sarah Gonzalez. Before we talk to Sarah, let's do this really quick. Everyone's trying to find ways to cut costs now. Everyone is. Now that life is so expensive, so much more expensive than it was a few years ago, everyone's looking. And so many people want out of their timeshares now. Because not only don't you use it anymore, you probably can't get into it, and the annual fees have doubled, haven't they? Special assessments. The costs are staggering. You want out, you try to get out, and what do they tell you? Oh, sorry, you can't. Sorry, you're stuck for life. Call Lone Star Transfer. Lone Star Transfer gets people legally and permanently out of their timeshare. Legally and permanently. All you have to do is call them. This is a family business with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. They put it in writing. 99% of the time, they get you out. Call them. 844-310-2646. Or go to LoneStarTransfer.com. We'll be back.
You're confident this border's secure?
We have a secure border.
Yeah. Joining me now, Sarah Gonzalez, host of Unfiltered on The Blaze. I love Sarah. Sarah, the reason we played that clip was back when Dome was giving that literal interview in September of 2022, a Mr. Jose Antonio Ibarra wanted to make sure I nailed that accent. How'd I do, Sarah? Anyway, he was up to something else, and what's he been up to ever since?
Yeah, great question, Jesse. So Jose Ibarra was actually up to no good, as it turns out. He went to New York. He was, well, first he came from Venezuela, trickled into the interior of the country, and shortly after went to New York, where he was arrested. So he has a rap sheet, but was released before ICE could hold a detainer on him, and then trickled on over to Georgia, where it just ended up that he actually allegedly killed a young woman, a 22-year-old young woman, nursing student at the University of Georgia by the name of Laken Riley, who was going on a morning jog. So yes, Kamala, the border is secure in the sense that it's not at all. And we do continue to allow illegals who, as it turns out, come in to commit crimes, which I know it was not okay for Donald Trump to say at the time when he said we are allowing rapists and murderers and criminals into this country. You know, turns out that he was right. And this is one of many long line of violent crimes that we are seeing due to the left and specifically Joe Biden's disastrous border policies.
Sarah, I just cannot get over sending my 22-year-old daughter to college and having her be killed that way. It just rips my guts out. But setting that aside, you mentioned ICE had possession of this guy, and then they didn't. Can you explain what happened there?
Well, yes. So New York Police Department, NYPD, actually arrested this man after he had been released by ICE into the interior of the country, because you see, he came in through El Paso in 2022, September of 2022. He came in through El Paso, ICE, as they often do, ICE and Border Patrol and all of these organizations that are supposed to actually do things to protect Americans are doing the opposite, and they're checking boxes and they're saying, all right, do you super duper pinky promise that you are going to show up for a court date in 2032? Great. Here you go. Here's your ticket into the interior of the country. So he went on a year later into NYPD, to New York City, and committed an act to injure or harm a child below the age of 17. He was put into custody in New York. And at some point, before ICE could put a detainer on him, this is what ICE says, he was released back into the interior of the country, where he then made his way down to Georgia to commit the heinous act of murdering this poor, innocent young woman.
God, have mercy. Oh, well, you know what? Let's beat up the Associated Press before we move on to some other things. The Associated Press catching a bunch of heat for running a headline talking about how this story highlights the dangers of women out jogging. Let's just skip right past all the other parts and get right to the obvious parts. Sarah, why does the American media, why does the corporate media, internationally, frankly, why do they view it as their job to protect the evil people of this planet?
I mean, I think because they're one and the same, Jesse. I mean, they are the evil people of this planet. They're all well connected. They all run the same game, and they all want to protect these people at the top from the optics of looking bad. Let's talk about toxic masculinity rather than talking about the root cause of this problem. And this is how egregious it gets, Jesse, when you're talking about the mainstream media, specifically this article that you mentioned from the Associated Press. The woman who wrote the article cited another murder of a young college woman from 2018. Her name was Molly Tibbetts from the University of Iowa, who was also killed in the same manner. Also forgot to mention the fact that this woman was also killed by an illegal immigrant. So first you think, well, maybe it's just stupidity. Maybe it's just ignorance. But then you go, no, actually, this is on purpose. This is intentionally being deceptive because the optics aren't good for them. So they have to make it up as they go along. It's just despicable.
Sarah, all right, we're going to do something I hadn't planned on here, but I can't help it. I'm a father. So I just want to talk about this. And I feel like it'd be appropriate to talk about this with you. Yeah. Dimes when they're working out. I'm sorry we live in a country where you can't just go and put on your little jog bra and your shorty shorts and go for a jog with your headphones on. But women are not as aware as they should be when they are out working out in this country. They throw on their headphones and a podcast and the music, and they don't realize that they are prey out there. How do you handle yourself when you're working out and about? Is your face buried in your phone with noise-canceling headphones on?
No, actually, Jesse, because I, like you, understand the, you know, significance of the times that we live in today. And so I try to not actually work out outside at all anymore. Unfortunately, that's just the way that it is. If I do, I am surrounded by other people. But more importantly, whenever I am outside and I am in a situation where I know that I could be vulnerable, I make sure to carry. I even have leggings. My friend Amy Robbins has a company called Alexo Athletica, and she actually makes leggings where you can carry inside your leggings. And so I would encourage young women, you know, anyone who just doesn't want to be vulnerable to someone with malintent, to just always carry, always be wearing something that you can carry to protect yourself. Because unfortunately, we are living at a time where, you know, Joe Biden is making us less safe. We've got these illegals coming in through the border. We've got people being released from prison, you know, cash bail. I mean, all of their policies are leading us to be less safe. And as a woman, you cannot take enough precautions to make sure that you can protect yourself.
Ladies, that wasn't me. That was Sarah. You heard it from her. All right, let's move on here. They're great at lying, obviously. AOC's on the news, and well, here she was.
To compensate for the negative effects, we're going to allow and throw people's kids into factories. That is what they are doing in rolling back child labor laws while being as xenophobic and anti-immigrant as they are, and while ginning up this false narrative about this being a crisis. And by the way, by then also preventing and blocking any legislation that would provide not just a path to citizenship, but a path to work papers.
Sarah, why does an American communist like AOC want the border open? What does she get out of having it open? She clearly wants it open. Why?
Pure chaos. The end of our republic as we know it. You've got all of these illegals coming in, committing crimes. You've got the very fabric of this country changed beyond repair. I mean, you've got all of these values and, you know, traditions that we hold so dear that are just completely decimated with all of these third world citizens, third world countries being imported into the interior of the country. And what I find so grotesque with what AOC just said right there, other than the fact that she called what we see happening in front of our very eyes a false narrative, it's also so disgusting to pretend for one second like the solution is a path to citizenship and work papers. No, the answer is no. This clearly is not solved unless and until we have mass deportations and send these people back to where they came from. That is the only solution that should be on the table with anyone who gives a crap about saving this country.
Amen. Sarah, Italian TV, I couldn't let you go without playing this for you real quick. I know you've seen it, but our president is now in such a mental state that the freaking Italians are making fun of us. Here it was.
I said to the president of Israel,
sì.
Mikhail Gorbachev.
No, non è Gorbachev, non è Gorbachev il presidente dell'Israele, no.
Sorry, Michael Jordan.
No.
When he went to the moon,
Mr. President, No, where are you going? Stay quiet. Ecco. Okay. No. Please. Cosa sta dicendo? Cosa sta facendo? È la valigetta dei codici atomici quella.
No.
Lei non sta bene? No.
No.
Gliel'hanno fatto grosso.
I forgot to take the pills.
No, ma non sono le pillole, non sono le medicine.
No, I called the nurse.
No.
Sarah, this has gotten so embarrassing. Surely he's not actually going to run again, right?
I mean, I don't think so. But the thing is like the pathway to getting someone else, the timing is becoming slimmer and slimmer. You have to believe Gavin Newsom is chomping at the bit to be released to be able to do that. But I mean, Joe Biden is essentially Weekend at Bernie's. Like, we have Weekend at Bernie's running the country. And I use the term running very loosely. I realize that it is not, in fact, Joe Biden making any of the decisions. But don't you remember when the left was all like up in arms about like, oh, my gosh, Donald Trump was going to have the nuclear codes. We can't let this man at the helm of things. He's going to completely ruin everything. And then when Joe Biden came into office, they said, oh, boy, I can't wait for the adults to be back in charge. Things are going to be pretty boring with this guy around. And I would say, no, it hasn't been so boring. It's been actually quite terrifying and also very embarrassing, as you point out.
It sure has. Thank you, Sarah. All right. Let's talk a little bit about blocking and tackling. Ronna McDaniel's out, ballot harvesting. Cliff Maloney joins us next. Well, apparently there's going to be some changes made at the RNC. Ronna McDaniel woke up this morning and announced that she's going to be bowing out as the head of the RNC after Super Tuesday on March 8th. So what does that mean for you, me, the country, the Republican Party? Is this great? Is it freaking horrible? Let's ask Cliff about it. Joining me now, Cliff Maloney, founder of PHA. Okay, Cliff, you woke up today, you saw the news, not exactly surprising news, there were rumors all over the place, but it was official today that she's out. Are you doing backflips when you're not on camera with me?
I mean, I'm excited, but let's be honest, the jury's still out. right? Do we end up with somebody replacing Rana that is just going to once again kind of stifle the grassroots, focus on the big TV ad buying, and miss the boat when it comes to mobilizing under these new election laws? And so, yeah, am I excited? Of course. I think that, you know, Ronna McDaniel represents the party of George Bush and the party of yesteryear. And so I think this is an opportunity for the grassroots to kind of shake things up, have a refresh. But I'm going to wait and see what the actual results look like and see how the party responds before I get too excited.
Cliff, ideally, okay, let's go to this ideal world, which you and I know doesn't exist. You get to pick the next RNC director. I'm not going to ask for a name, but what do we actually want out of them? Do we want a fundraising juggernaut? What do we want if we could build the ideal one?
Yeah, well, I will give you a name. My ideal candidate would be Vivek. I do think Vivek Ramaswamy kind of has the perfect mix of A, being able to fundraise, B, being able to talk in normal speak. You know, blue-collar folks can understand what he's saying. And then lastly, I think he understands looking at the data and mixing that with the grassroots. But I think those three things should not be too much to ask for. The Democrats get this, right? The Democrats understand they are serious people, right? It's not just about access. It's not just about power. It's not just about prestige for whoever the party chair is. You have to win, because with winning comes all the access, all the power. They decide the public policy and the laws that we live under. And so if I could create the perfect chair, it's somebody that understands those key functions of, yes, we have to fundraise, but we've got to be able to connect with normal people and then tie it all together in a way that doesn't tell the grassroots to go pound sand. There are plenty of people that want to help. We need to be organized like the Democrats. That's the only way we're going to win.
What does grassroots look like from an RNC level? Obviously, I'm well acquainted with what it looks like locally, but from the RNC level, what do we want them doing with grassroots?
Right, I'll keep it very simple and talk through the numbers, okay? The Democrats, the last two big election cycles, 2020 and 2022, we've had all these rule changes, right? The Democrats adapted. They understood, look, we need to pay people full-time to adapt to the rules. In some states, you can chase. In some states, you can harvest ballots. I mean, there are plenty of tactics you can use. Republicans, unfortunately, refuse to adapt. Now, whether that's because there's not as much money when it comes to hiring full-time people on the ground, or it's because they don't want to give up the 15% commission they're getting on the ad buy, because that's much simpler. But Democrats do the hard work of hiring, dealing with people that are difficult to work with, and they just push through it. Right. That's the difference between Democrats and Republicans. It's not easy, but Democrats push right through. They don't make excuses. Republicans like to take the easy way out. But this firing, or at least this resignation of Rana, I think it's a huge opportunity to shift that mindset.
OK, can you, for the people who don't quite understand what you just said, harvesting ballots versus chasing ballots, what's the difference, Cliff?
Sure. So in certain states, you can actually touch or collect the ballots of somebody that got a mail-in ballot delivered to their house, right? In a state like Pennsylvania, you know, the program we're running, everything is specific to, we can't touch the ballot, but we can encourage those that have requested a mail-in ballot to go out to actually put a stamp on it and drop it in the mail. But you have, Jesse, five swing states where they have drastically changed the election laws. Okay, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, Wisconsin, and Michigan. And when you look at those states, all five of those, the Democrats are beating us at hiring these full-time ballot chasers or ballot harvesters. But all five of them have different sets of rules that you need a real strategy for, real tactics. And once again, it's time for Republicans to step up and actually go to war.
Well, I'm glad you're doing this at PA Chase. I wish there was a little bit more help nationally from this. Is this too late in the game to hope the RNC can get involved in this process, Cliff? I woke up and honestly, that's the first thing I thought. Okay, it's great she's gone, but it's March. I mean, we're like 15 minutes away from the election. Isn't it late?
It is late. But the nice thing is, as much as Democrats are serious people, they struggle to organize as well, right? These campaigns do come together at the end of the cycle. Things always kind of come to a climax. They build. And so I think we're in a really good spot if we're able to get organized now. The Pennsylvania Chase, people can check it out at pachase.com. PA has 50 days. Let me say it again for all your viewers. 50 days of mail-in ballots. And so instead of just trying to compete on one day, which is election day, which obviously will compete hard to turn out the vote, Democrats have an additional 49 days where they get to get people to vote. And so, Jesse, I'm not here to advocate that mail-in ballots are a great thing. I'm a big believer in single day, no new registration, closed primaries, paper ballots. I'm all in. But the reality is that's not the hand that we've been dealt. And you have to be able to change. So is it late? Yes. But is there a plan? Yes. I would point to the different states, Turning Point Action, Scott Pressler, some of these other guys. We're partnering with them in these swing states. We're owning Pennsylvania. But I do think the time is now. If this thing gets a couple more months down the road and we're not as organized when the Democrats start to really turn things on, I think we're in trouble. But I do think the party can get its act together. The grassroots can link up. And I think Ron's firing, or resignation, we'll call it that, is a great opportunity to start to rewrite how we're going to go into the future.
If people want to get involved in chasing these ballots, Cliff, I think a lot of people get uncomfortable, especially on the right, when it comes to getting, I don't want to say in your face, that's not what it is, but in your business a little bit, a text message, a knock on your door. Should people be worried about getting involved in this?
Well, I think that that's been the natural reaction for any of us because we don't really trust the system. And we're talking about states. I mean, Pennsylvania is run by Democrats, right? But I don't think we have a choice. And so I'm pushing and I'm encouraging people that let's play their game. Let's use their rules and compete. Right now in Pennsylvania, Republicans get 20% of all mail-in ballots. It's pretty abysmal. We're not saying we have to get to 51%. All we're saying is if we can go from 20% to 33%, we think that Pennsylvania is competitive again. But yeah, I mean, I tell people all the time, it's tough to get my mom, my family out in the Philadelphia suburbs, you know, to say, hey, we really should encourage other people. It is a little bit of pushing them and getting in the privacy bounds. But at the end of the day, Democrats do the work to push through. We're going to push through some of the awkwardness. If people want to get involved in Pennsylvania, you can download our app, the PA Chase app, on Android or on the Apple iPhone store. I mean, we'd love to get everybody involved. The reality is, if we don't start to change, we're never going to be able to compete with Democrats under these new rules that, as much as we disagree with them, we have to play by them to be competitive.
PA Chase app. Go. That's the important states like Pennsylvania matter a lot. Cliff, thank you, my brother. I appreciate it. All right. We have a light in the mood next, and it makes me laugh. I'm sorry. I've probably seen this light in the mood clip we're going to play for you 1,000 times in my life. I think it's 10, 12 years old, and it makes me laugh every single time. So hang on for that. Before we get to that, let's do this. You know I have a radio show too, right? You don't just get to gaze upon me for an hour doing TV. I have a 3-hour radio show every night. And they podcast the show, so you don't have to listen to it live. Go to thefirsttv.com/podcasts. You'll see the Jesse Kelly Show there. Enjoy. We'll be back. All right, let's lighten the mood. And you know what I love to see in sports? What I've always loved to see. You love it too. Passion, right? I want to see passion in sports. I don't like before the game when the two football teams come together and they're getting along, shaking hands, and put a selfie on my Instagram. I want brawls before the game. Hatred, passion, the thrill of victory. And nowhere, nowhere have you ever seen passion like Peter Weber showed 12 years ago when he won his bowling match.
Strike to claim it. A strike to claim it. And he got it!
Scott got it, yes! That is why I did it! Another five! Are you kidding me? That's right! Who do you think you are? I am!
are. What? I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.